This panel is on individual and community well-being, and we have two presenters, Jose Escarce, who is a professor of medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA, and a social scientist at the RAND Corporation. Professor Escarce is an expert on racial and ethnic disparities in health and health care, immigrant health, and he will be speaking first. Our second speaker is a person that needs no introduction, Ruben Rumbat, who is one of the most prolific writers on the immigrant experience in America. He's professor of sociology here at University of California, Irvine, a long term researcher in this area who's published major works, including Immigrant America, A Portrait, Origins and Destinies, and a number of other works. His work has been given the highest award by the American Sociological Association, a Distinguished Scholarly Publication Award. And so we welcome both of you, Professor Escarce.
Well, good afternoon now, and thank you very much for coming to the session. I was initially concerned, as if you look in your program, you'll see that I was supposed to be last, and I was concerned that I would be the only thing standing between you and lunch, and then Ruben asked to be switched, probably so that he could disagree with most of what I said. But it's really backfired, right? Because now he's going to be the one standing between you and lunch, so that's really great. Anyway, my job is to review what's known about the health of immigrants and to spend some time talking about areas where additional study would be warranted. And I think that health is a very important area to consider in any study of immigrants for two reasons. First of all, as people have said, there are many immigrants in this country. They number well over 30 million. And actually, the second generation, the children of immigrants, number over 30 million as well. Both of these numbers are going to grow, and so that within the next few decades, the health of immigrants and their children will be major drivers of the health of the American population as a whole and of their health care needs. The second is that ethnic disparities in health are really intrinsically tied to immigration. They have everything to do with the health status of immigrants when they come to the United States, with what happens to their health when they're here, and then, of course, they have everything to do with the health status of their children. How do I move to the next slide? Oh, there we go. So the outline of the presentation is as follows. I'll spend some time giving a brief overview of what we know about the health status of immigrants. Then I'll give a brief overview of what we know about the health status of the second generation, or in many cases, simply the U.S. born of the same ethnic group. And then finally, I'll talk about some selected questions of interest that whose answers are not fully understood and that warrant further investigation. Immigrants have been found to have lower mortality than native-born Americans. This is some results from a study by Singh and colleagues, and these are hazard ratios for mortalities for immigrants relative to the U.S.-born. On the left-hand column, we have men. The right-hand column has women. And you can see that all these hazard ratios are below 1, which means that the death rate for both men and women immigrants are lower than for their native-born counterparts. The other thing that I want you to notice, because I'll be coming back to this later in the talk a couple of times, is that the hazard ratios seem to come closer to 1 for the older age groups, so that the immigrant advantage, if you will, declines or appears to decline in these data as people get older. Now, these results of a lower mortality rate are seen when you break down the population into racial and ethnic groups, so they would be seen if you broke this down into Hispanics, that is Latin American immigrants versus the U.S.-born, non-Hispanic blacks, that is African immigrants versus the U.S.-born, and also for non-Hispanic whites as well. These disparities are also seen, or these immigrant advantages also seen, for a number of specific causes of death. And many studies have documented this type of finding. You see a similar picture with chronic conditions. These are data from Hassel and colleagues' report using the New Immigrant Survey pilot. And it shows 4 chronic conditions: arthritis, diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease, by age group, and it compares immigrants and the U.S. born. And you can see that for each one of these conditions, the prevalence of these chronic conditions is lower in immigrants than in the U.S. born, at least for the younger age groups. And so I want to underscore the age pattern again. As people are getting older, the immigrant advantage actually virtually disappears in the highest age group here and may even begin to reverse. These are data reported by Hassel and colleagues, but the data come from the National Health Interview Survey, not their new immigrant survey. You get a similar pattern when you look at activity limitations and needing help with activities of daily living. The one place where you do see a difference is in self-reported health status. So when you ask people to tell you about their health, immigrants are less likely than the native-born to tell you that they're in excellent or very good health. And if you compare those findings, which of course are subjective reports, to the more objective information, it makes you think that there might be cultural differences sort of in the thresholds or in the calibration of these responses that people use. Here's another important indicator of health status. This is infant mortality among immigrant and U.S.-born women. And for 2003, from National Vital Statistics, you can see that the immigrant rate was 5.21 per 1,000 births compared to 7.15 for the U.S.-born. This also holds when you do it within ethnic groups. Another interesting finding to talk about is the differences. So building on what we've seen so far, that immigrants are basically very healthy and that overall they're healthier than the native born, at least by the indicators we found, and it extends to many indicators. It is also worthwhile to look at variation among immigrants in their health status depending on the place of origin. This slide lists three chronic diseases and the prevalence of those, as well as infant mortality, and it compares different places of origin. So if we start with hypertension, you can see that European immigrants actually have the highest rates of any immigrant group for hypertension. The same thing happens for arthritis. If you look at another condition, for example, diabetes, then immigrants from Mexico have the highest rate. Immigrants from Mexico also have relatively high rates of hypertension, but Asians have low rates of hypertension as well as low rates of diabetes. Infant mortality, you get a picture of variation as well. Immigrants from Europe have very low infant mortality rates, whereas African immigrants have rates that are twice as high. You get a similar result when you look at mortality. Some studies have compared the mortality of immigrants from different places, and they have found, for example, that immigrants from Latin American countries have lower mortality than immigrants from Europe. So what can we say in terms of a summary? By many health indicators, immigrants are in better health than the U.S. born. We saw this for mortality. We see it for chronic conditions. We see it for activity limitations. And we see it for birth outcomes. In analyses of cross-sectional data, the immigrant health advantage appears to decline with increasing age. We saw this for mortality and for chronic conditions as well. And finally, the health status of new immigrants varies by region and country of origin, and we saw this for mortality and for chronic conditions. And I'll return to some of these points a little bit later. Now I want to go to a little bit of information about the health status of the second generation. Now, in the ideal study, we would really be comparing the second generation, that is the children of immigrants, with whatever the group comparison group of interest was. It could be immigrants themselves, or it could be other native-born people. One problem is that in a lot of data sets, it's impossible to distinguish the second generation. In fact, you have to basically, the only thing you know is whether people were born here or abroad. Only a few data sets enable us that have health information enable us actually to distinguish the second generation. But having said that, then, this provides some information on mortality, and it compares Latin American immigrants, U.S.-born Hispanics, not necessarily second generation, and U.S.-born non-Hispanic whites. And the top part of the panel is men. The bottom part of the panel refers to women, and these are, again, hazard ratios. So one thing that you can see here is that immigrants, at least in that middle age group of 45 to 64, have significantly lower mortality rates than U.S.-born Hispanics. However, if you go to the right-hand column, you can see that U.S.-born Hispanics still have lower mortality rates than U.S.-born whites, and they are actually substantially lower. I would point out that this last finding is not universal. This study was done with the National Longitudinal Mortality Survey, or study, those data. And studies based on other data find that there is an immigrant advantage in mortality relative to the U.S.-born whites, but that U.S.-born Hispanics, for example, don't have an advantage compared to U.S.-born whites. Nonetheless, they don't have higher mortality. Here are some data on infant mortality, analogous to what we saw before. And here, this table compares immigrants, infant mortality for immigrants from different Latin American countries with their U.S.-born counterparts. And again, we see that the infant mortality rate in every single case is lower for the immigrants than for the U.S.-born. I've also included in the top row U.S.-born non-Hispanic whites. And so you can see that for three of the immigrant groups, that is Mexicans, Cubans, and Central and South Americans, mortality is actually lower than for the non-Hispanic whites. In terms of the U.S.-born ethnic groups, however, it's a mixed bag. The Cubans who are born here, most of whom, of course, are second generation, have lower mortality than the non-Hispanic whites. However, the other groups have slightly higher to considerably higher mortality than the non-Hispanic whites in the case of Puerto Ricans. These are cardiovascular risk factors among Mexican immigrants. And here, in this case, we do have second-generation Mexican-Americans. The data source for this is the current NHANES, that is an ongoing survey. This is a really interesting database for people who are not familiar with it, because it gathers data from surveys, but also from physical examinations and from laboratory studies of people. So it enables you to do test the physiologic data to assess physiologic data in a way that no other data set enables you to do. So this is a comparison for Mexicans, immigrants versus the second generation. And you can see that for men, many of the cardiovascular risk factors are worse in the second generation. So for example, Mexican men in the second generation have higher rates of high blood pressure, they have higher rates of diabetes, they have higher rates of obesity, and they have higher rates of abdominal obesity, which many people may not be familiar with, but it's a strong risk factor for cardiovascular disease. On the other hand, the rates of current smoking are lower for second-generation men compared to immigrant men. In women, for these particular risk factors, there wasn't a difference between the immigrants and the second generation, except in the HDL cholesterol, which was higher for second-generation women. This is actually the good cholesterol, so from that perspective, that's a good thing. But of course, notice the very high rates of obesity and abdominal obesity for both the immigrant and the second-generation women from Mexico. So what do we know about the second generation? Well, by many health indicators, second-generation individuals, or U.S.-born individuals, as the case may be, seem to be in worse health than immigrants from the same national origin group. We saw this for mortality. We saw this for birth outcomes. We saw this for cardiovascular risk factors. And others have documented it for chronic conditions as well. However, the relationship of the second generation's health indicators to those of the U.S.-born varies across indicators. In some cases, the second generation in different ethnic groups is better off. In other cases, they're worse off. Now I want to turn to some questions that are not fully answered and that might be adequate topics or good topics for additional research. The first and the most obvious from what I've presented is, well, why are immigrants in better health than the U.S.-born in the first place? One of the reasons that has been touted by many authors and researchers on this issue is the health selectivity of migration. And by health selectivity, I refer to the fact that immigrants tend to be in better health than the typical person from their sending country. Now, of course, if their health is good enough, then they'll also be in better health than the typical American, and that appears to be the case. The role of health selectivity is very widely accepted, and some analyses have suggested that the effect can be very large. However, that might not be the only thing going on. For some countries, at least, return migration may be important. And there is an idea that immigrants, after they experience a period of illness, or when they get sick, or when they experience a period of unemployment, perhaps related to health, they tend to go back to their sending country, at least for some of those countries. And so that would deplete the immigrant population of its sicker members, if you will, so the ones here would appear to be in better health. That position has received some support in certain studies. Another possibility are protective health behaviors and cultural factors. And this is based on the observation that immigrants from many sending countries actually have better health behaviors. They're less likely to drink, they have more healthy diets, they're less obese, et cetera, than many native-born Americans. The second question is how does the health selectivity of migration vary by age? Now, I showed you some data on how the immigrant advantage shrinks with increasing age. That, of course, is not direct evidence on this issue because many of the older immigrants in those tables actually might have been here a long time. They didn't just come as older people. However, data from the pilot of the New Immigrant Survey shows that those same patterns that I showed you actually hold up when you're looking at recent immigrants. So it does appear that whereas young immigrants are much healthier than their counterparts who are native-born, that's not the case, and sometimes the situation even reverses for older immigrants. What are the phenomena driving that process, and why does that occur is an interesting question for research as well. Another related question is, how does the health selectivity of migration vary across sending countries? Sending countries differ a great deal in their health status. They differ in the educational attainment and skills of the people who are coming over, that is, their immigrants. They certainly differ in geographic and cultural distance from the United States, which sort of imposes an additional cost on immigration. They differ in the extent to which there are established networks of co-ethnics or immigrant enclaves here in the United States that might receive the immigrants and help with their incorporation into the new society. And then, of course, immigration policy might treat them differently. All of these issues could affect the degree of health selectivity of people from different countries, and trying to understand that might inform us how do these factors drive the selection process. A very important set of questions pertains to the trajectories of immigrants once they're here. There is the sense in the literature that being in the United States is actually bad for immigrants with respect to their health, and that their health declines faster than the health of the native-born population. And so the question is, if that's the case, why would that be? Well, one possibility, of course, one question is whether, in fact, that really happens, because this information is based on a number of cross-sections and comparing people in different ages and cross-sections, and we know that that doesn't reproduce really the life cycle trajectory for anybody if there are cohort effects, that is, if different immigrant cohorts differ in their health. And there are many reasons to think that there are potentially powerful cohort effects with regard to the health of immigrants. One thing, of course, is that the health in many of the sending countries has been changing over time, and I'll show some information on that in a second. And the second is that the other factors that influence health selectivity have changed over time as well. Barriers to immigration, the existence of networks of co-ethnics, changes in economic conditions in sending countries, etc. So to lend some credence to the possibility of cohort effects, and therefore to suggest that we need to understand better what happens to immigrants once they're here, because we don't quite understand it at this point, let me just show you some information on the mortality rate in Mexico over the last 40 years. I guess pink squares at the top are the infant mortality rate, and it has plummeted dramatically between 1960 and 2000. But the other lines at the bottom show the age groups. The age groups from which immigrants are mainly drawn, that is the 15 to 44 group and then the 45 to 64 group. And although the absolute declines in mortality are smaller, in fact the relative declines are substantial. So it's clear that health in Mexico has been improving. Other indicators show that as well. And so it's very likely that there have been major cohort effects, or there could have been cohort effects in the immigrants coming from Mexico. So returning to the questions, I think we do need to understand better whether immigrants do experience a more rapid decline. And then if they do, what are the factors that influence that? Certainly one thing that could do it is simple regression to the mean. If you're highly selected for good health when you come in, you would be expected relative to the population and the native-born population to decline more quickly because health status won't be perfectly correlated across time. But the second influence, potential important influence, which has received a lot of attention in the literature, is whether, again, whether acculturation is bad. And this is based on findings that as immigrants stay longer in the United States, many times some of those health behaviors that they had that were quite beneficial at the beginning, their diets, alcohol use, etc., actually decline. So teasing those things apart would be very helpful. Finally, final set of questions has to do with what factors influence the health status of the second generation. As you saw, the second generation is typically in worse health than the first generation, that is, than their immigrant parents. There could be some sort of intergenerational regression to the mean here as well, but the idea that acculturation is bad for the health of the second generation has received a lot of attention in the literature and support. And again, most of this is based on the deterioration of health behaviors and health habits between the immigrant generation and the second generation. If acculturation plays an important role, how does the effect of acculturation differ depending on the mode of acculturation? And by this I mean, does the human capital of the parents have anything to do with how the second generation acculturates with regard to health and compares to the parents with regard to their health status, the types of social context in which they grow up, whether ethnic enclaves modify the acculturation process with regard to health and whether that's beneficial or not. That has been looked at in a couple of studies and has received some support as well, but we know very little really about it. And then finally, how does the health of the second generation vary across sending countries, and how is that influenced by the different types of selection processes that I talked about before, as well as their modes of assimilation into U.S. society? Thank you very much.